time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody, to another podcast. Hard to believe that we are as far along in this month as we are, but it is April 13th, and it's 2020, and we're hoping you all had a great Easter holiday. Everyone I talk to seemed to relax, seemed to have a really great Easter. And so this is an interesting season we're in, and we're going to be talking about that. We're going to have Kevin Perrantio come on, talking with us. He's the Chief Lending Officer of PMRG. Have him in the Hot Topic segment. We're talking about effective communication for leaders, overcoming negative thinking, and the response you get from open and authentic communication. It's very clear what it can do for yourself as a leader, but more importantly, for your company. I want to say a special thank you to the Industry Syndicate. So glad to be a part of them and all that they do, as well as the Mortgage Media. You can see more reference to that. In fact, I'm not sure if it's up on our website yet, but it will be shortly. We've joined forces with Mortgage Media, something that David Stevens and so many of the other industry leaders are a part of. We're pleased to be a part of it. And we're going to be doing more and more cross-promotional work with them. So if you see our material show up on their site, you'll also see their material show up on our website. So really excited. Anyway, I want to also say we've got an upcoming online conference this week as a result of the coronavirus. This week, on April 15th and 16th, there will be a live virtual conference, and it's called the Mortgage 2020 Conference. Google Mortgage 2020, and you'll see it come up. The actual website is revconferences.com, and very excited about participating in that. I'm on a panel discussion with a number of Barry Habib, myself, Rob Crispin is on that with me on the panel, and so we're all talking to the industry about some of the leading topics of what's going on. So very fascinating. I want to say a special thank you to the Mortgage Bankers Association. They do a great job of sponsoring our podcast and also being providing leadership to the industry. I want to say a big shout out to Bill Kelmer and to of course, Bob Brooksbit. The work they're doing on the Hill is nothing short of Herculean, especially when you look at what's going on in the industry. We're going to talk about each one of the sponsors. Normally, I go through the long list, but I'm going to be this week talking about each one of them in and in between some of the various segments. So thrilled to have you as a listener. The MBA Mortgage Minute, Rob was unable to get us his recording, so we're going to just talk about some of the things that are the initiatives. I want to talk about the importance of coordinating and working with the MBA, especially when you're working on the Hill. So I had an unusual experience on Friday. I have a client up in Dallas, very successful individual, owns many companies. His fraternity brother and the college they went to, the university they went to, I think it was Texas Tech they went to, my client's fraternity brother is Roger Williams, representative at the U.S. House. And so we're explaining what's going on in the industry and some of the threats. We're kind of basically doing a SWOT analysis talking about that. And we're talking about Calabria, very curious, not supporting getting the necessary funding for issuers, RMBS issuers, such as we have now with Ginnie Mae securities, for when there's forbearance. People have taken advantage of the forbearance, and I use those words very purposely, taken advantage of the forbearance. We should put a lot more qualifications on the front end of that thing. The MBA said that. But this administration went out, and that's not a negative statement, not trying to be political here. But this administration set out, if you don't want to make your mortgage payment, you don't have to. There should have been some qualifications around that, because the consequence this is having on issuers, especially Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac securities. If you sold a loan on a written admittance program that has sold it on a scheduled basis, folks, you're, as a lender, having to make the advances, at least for interest. And if you're doing scheduled remittances, you're doing it for interest and principal. But just even think about it for interest only payments. You're going to have to advance those payments. I sent some articles into Fox News. As you guys know, I'm a part of that, and not a part of it. I get to be a regular commentary, and I said, you guys got to get some people on and talking about this. They got the chairman of Mr. Cooper on, And that was really an interesting interview. He said basically that they're going to be facing insolvency if they do not get some type of way of accessing a fund, because the advances they're going to make is going to drain all the cash out of them. And they're facing within 60 days the potential for insolvency. When you look at this kind of problem, it's so important that we be able to have access to our elected officials. So back to my conversation on Friday, talking to my client, explaining all this. He says, who's this Calabria guy? Do you have his phone number? And I go, realize, well, you think differently. Well, yes, I have his work number and I have his email address and know his chief economist and all that, but I don't have his cell phone number. Why not? So he says, who does he report up to? He's talking about Congress. So he says, wait a minute. And he literally put me on hold, went out, and dialed Roger Williams. Roger, because he knows my client, stepped out of a meeting talking about this very thing and says, Dave, explain why we need this. And what we did is able to bring to Roger Williams, who took it back into committee, the things we're talking about. Here's the lesson I've learned out of this. You know, we talk about we don't want to be political. We better be political, folks. Our industry needs voices from the street. So as a result of my client being in close relationship and supporting a number of political candidates, we're going to be on the phone with them throughout this week. We've got scheduled meetings talking about it. Now, I'm coordinating that through the MBA. So why are you putting all this in the MBA Mortgage Minute? Because what we do is we work with the MBA and their messaging on the Hill. And I'm encouraging each of you, as we talk later in the Hot Topic segment, about leaders communicating, changing how we communicate. It's so important that our voices be heard. So I want to say a thank you to Bob Brooksmith, Bill Kelmer, and all those that are working on the Hill on behalf of the MBA. We need to have our voices heard from the street. We can't just depend on the MBA. We should work and coordinate with the MBA and have the message heard. And my gosh, give into MORPAC. We have a political action committee that's active. And so I gave into it this last year. Encourage you all to get involved. So anyway, there's my MBA Mortgage Minute as my promote for the MBA for all they're doing. Thank you. Each of you listening to this, you say, well, I don't know my representative. I've never talked to him. I was just talking to one of my clients. And as a result, I challenged him. I said, as soon as you can, get on the phone or go visit them as soon as we get past this and have them know who you are. That's what I'm encouraging all of you as listeners. Make sure you have your voice heard. Two ways to do it. So you're in D.C., set up a meeting. Second way is sign up for Mortgage Action Alliance, and you can get their emails. You don't have to be a member of the MBA. You can get your voice heard through that app by signing, just acknowledging and signing that the petitions that are out there or getting behind the bills and communicating with your representatives. Pretty cool app, Mortgage Action Alliance. MAW, check it out. Anyway, let's get over to Les Parker's segment with this week's TM Spotlight and a macro view of the market. Les?
And gold wakes in the morning and it runs outside. And locks take a deep dive and prices get real high. And folks scream from the top of their lungs, what's going on?
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Imagine mortgage rates lower than the 10-year yield. Who wants to buy mortgages at a yield below 1%? The Fed does. It's no longer the lender of last resort, but the buyer of first resort. What's up? The Fed wants to bring the U.S. economy out of its self-induced coma and have everything be like it was a month ago. So, Groundhog Day costs $5 to $9 trillion. What's going on? These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Sign up for Les's newsletter. You'll find it very interesting, the music parodies and all that. More and more feedback I get from people that are downloading it, reading it regularly, and sometimes they don't always get it, but as they listen to it and read it, they're finding to be one of the most valuable resources. Some of the top industry leaders, Stan Middleman, for example, reads it daily. If some of the top leaders read it, why don't you? I encourage you to check it out at tmspotlight.com. It's free. And there's a paid version with more information, but start with the free one. Joe Farr, good to have you with us, as you are here with us each and every week. Appreciate you very much. Boy, we're already getting some feedback in on the comments I made about connecting with your senators. And people are writing me saying things like, yeah, I never even thought about that. Why is it what happens in D.C. stays in D.C.? I didn't think I'm connected to it. Never even thought about it. We need to have our voice heard. So, yeah, Anyway.
Well, and one other thing to consider doing is joining the MBA or the state association and get active.
Yep. It may cost you a little money, but folks, boy, it's times like this. Thank God we got the MBA in there politically active.
Yeah. Well, not much going on today. It's MBS prices are down a little bit. Stocks are down a little bit, too. And maybe that's just a little bit of a reversal of last week's really nice week for stocks and bonds. So, and no economic data really coming out today. So, but looking at last week, it was a far less volatile week for stock and bond prices. MBS prices just had a nice steady improvement throughout the week. I think by the end of the week, they were up about 50 basis points. So, just slow, steady improvement. Stocks had a very good week. And boy, for anyone who got their 401k statement last week, you needed a good week. The Dow rose about 12%, a little over 12% during the week, which cut in half, just about cut in half the drop that we had seen from the high back in February before all this coronavirus drop started. So it's not there yet, obviously, but certainly a good week last week. Today, we're giving a little bit of that back. There was very little economic data last week that had any impact on the market. In fact, really nothing's impacting the market. Interesting data to come out was consumer sentiment. It fell by a record amount and kind of tells you what you would expect to hear about how the consumer's feeling. And jobless claims were huge again. Fortunately, they were a little bit lower than the week before, but they were huge again. Consumer prices, a measure of inflation, it was actually negative, mostly due to falling gas prices. And then as Les was referring to the Fed and all that it's doing to help improve the market or to keep the economy as stable as they can make it, Fed Chairman Powell on Thursday provided more information about things that the Fed is doing to add liquidity into the market and, as mentioned, trying to maintain some stability in the market. Now, looking at this week, there's a lot of data coming out. Again, not to say it's going to move the market, but it's going to be a good look at just how significant the economy has slowed. There are things like the March retail sales that come out on Wednesday. It's expected to show a 10% drop from February, so that's a huge change in retail sales. In fact, all the data that comes out is expected to show a huge drop, as you might expect. Yeah. The only thing that good will come from that is jobless claims. It's going to be a drop from what was huge numbers before. It's still going to be over 5 million expected new jobless claims. And then we'll see Congress is continuing to negotiate, if you will, additional stimulus package. If that gets passed, it could be another good thing for the stock market, which could be not a real good thing for the bond market, but we'll see what they get done.
Yes, it's a lot potentially to happen this week. I think we could see significant events out there. So, good. Appreciate it. Thank you, Joe.
You bet.
Good to have you with us. Alice Alvey, good to have you joining us as well. Really interested in your update, especially with some of the stuff that is going on at the state level. Good to hear your voice, Alice.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, I'll start with the state level, but then I'll make sure I also include a little bit on that Ginnie Mae piece you were mentioning earlier. So it was interesting. Before the show, we were, comparing some notes about various states. And so one of the states that's really glaring for us right now is Pennsylvania. And their governor has issued orders that are a little ambiguous at this point. So we've got a 12-day extension from this day. And what they're saying is, it appears that they're saying that we won't be able to close loans because they don't want realtors and title companies to operate. I know in my husband's industry, he's in the auto industry. I mean, you can't buy a car in Pennsylvania. You can't go into a dealership and get a car. So if your car got totaled a few weeks ago before the orders, and it takes a while for claims and stuff to get processed, and now you're ready, you got your check, you can go buy the car. You got to cross over the border to probably got to come over to Ohio, because I did double check. I made the mistake. Our Ohio governor is Republican. And so in our state, we're able to go out. You're not going to get a $500 ticket if you go buy grass seed. But if you go to Michigan and Pennsylvania, you are so locked down. Industry is so locked down. And they continue to add interpretations to lock things down even further. So like you mentioned earlier, MBA is on it. We're very involved with some of these states that have just literally fallen off a cliff in regulating their populations. And, you know, I said I didn't want to come out and say it's all the Democratic governors. We're doing some checking. So I have been lining up, you know, here are the states with the super tight ones that I've been hearing about. And then here's my map of Democrat versus Republican governors. And it so far is lining up. When you can't go anywhere and you can't do anything and business is hurting even worse, there's the Democratic governor at the helm pushing that agenda. So not to be political, I'm just lining things up, and that's the way it's laying out right now. So
can I jump on that note? Because I want to make sure everyone knows, because people love you, Alice, and have so many listeners. I was talking to Kim Schubert last week, and she's commenting about it. She says, I just love Alice Alvey's report and all that. And I think what we try to do, folks, is stay apolitical. But when you have something as glaring as this, and I was telling Alice as we were dialed in earlier, I'm hearing that it is the Democratic governors that are absolutely just cranking, it's putting the screws down on the economy and what can be done there, and it's an overreaction. And I want to believe it's in the best of interest, and innocent me from Minnesota. Sometimes I think it's always in the best intentions, but sometimes you start wondering. The consequences, what's it doing to the dealerships? Anyway, good job on that. I didn't want to think that she covered that, especially that part of it, at my urging, folks. So if you that sounds political, that was my urging, Alice.
Right. Well, and it's not all Democratic governors, right? So I did look I think it was Minnesota. You brought Minnesota or Wisconsin, if you look at my list here, was okay, right? But they had a Democratic governor. And so it's not all Democratic governors, but where you do see it locked down, it's been a struggle. So
in those states that are locked down, it is Democratic governorship. So again, not all Democratic governors are locking it down.
No.
Be real clear.
Yeah, I want to make that part clear. Right. Yeah, it's not all. A couple of other things that we're watching. So like you mentioned, Ginnie Mae did issue their all participants memo late on Friday. Mm-hmm. So that's allowing the pass-through assistance program that Dave mentioned, that we as lenders, they have to apply, though, by today. So it was a real tight window. Came out Friday. If you want to be a part of that, which I'm sure your CEOs are all on, they've got to get that done by midnight tonight. It is just, for everybody's benefit, it is just relief for the principal and interest portion. As a servicer of Ginnie Mae Securities, you still have to make the tax and insurance side of it. So it was, you do need to recognize it was a partial relief. It's still a loan against that, that you would, you know, in theory, you go, okay, hopefully I can get my borrower to make the payments at the same time I have to then repay that advance. So it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out over time. But I just wanted to give everyone a heads up on that part. The other thing is I did check, again, before the call, we talked about, you know, rent, non-payment of rent in April. It was published by the National Multifamily Housing Council that it was 69% of renters made their payment. So that's being translated in the headlines as 30% of renters did not. Now, the normal number is around 81, 82%. If you compare that to 2019, so it's really about a 10, 11, 12% change in renters who didn't make their payment. It's not that it was 100% before and now it's 30%, right? It was never 100% of people were making their rent payment, but nonetheless a big drop and something that people should be aware of. It does seem like the commercial side of our financial industry is going to get hit first. The renters are stopping. It hasn't come in yet. And then last but not least, Reuters did publish that Chase has said that they're only going to do 700 credit scores with 20% down on mortgages. You know, so that's just, you know, basically saying I'm going to take care of my existing customers and you better be cream of the crop. And basically they don't trust MI companies is another side message I would get out of that one, right? Just some heads up, as every lender really should be looking at their risks and the products that they're offering and what makes the most sense for what you can manage in servicing. And so that's really where we're at today, Dave. We'll keep watching those state orders and let folks know things that we hear.
People say, you bring up a great point. One of our past advertisers was PMI, and they failed in a crisis, the last crisis. And so you sit and realize, you know, it's so important to know who your counterparties are, the strength of them, and don't assume that just because they have an insurance company listed behind their name that everything's all good. So, good. Alice, good reporting. Thank you so much. Thanks for digging in and looking at those states that are locking down and finding out what is, if there is that consistency, and there is.
I'll keep working on it. You know, we'll have more next week. It's, you know, got to, the devil's in the details, right, of whether you're going to get, I mean, we joke around in Michigan, right, you literally will get a $500 ticket if you walk out of Home Depot with grass seed, right, because it's not an essential thing. You can't buy vegetables either, even though you might
That's
be growing.
That's crazy. crazy
times.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for the good report.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. That was Alice Alvey, CMB, Vice President of Education and Training for our good friends at Union Home Mortgage. She does a great job with this week's legislative update. Folks, we want to move on to Alan Pollack, who's here with the tech update. You know, Alan, one of the things, I know you work with technology. I want to put in a word for our Finastra partnership. Great company that does a great job dealing with many of the changes in the shifting changes in the technology world. And they're excited, as well as we are excited, to get your tech update. What you got for us, friend?
Great to be here. Thanks for the intro. Not too much. You know, following the news and trying to help technology take a nice, big, giant leap forward. So lots of great stuff. David, I've got a question for you. Did you know that Fruit Loops are all the same flavor?
No. It's the color that makes you think there's something different.
That's right. But not online signings, right? So we now have porch signings, window-separated signings, curbside signings, remote online notarizations, drive-through signings. So we are definitely expanding our horizon here in the mortgage industry.
Yeah. Yeah, one signing service I was talking to was, for our closings, they were saying, we want to find those old roller skates that the A&W Ripier stands used to have, and we're going to roll out on roller skates and get everyone to sign. I thought that was pretty fun,
trying
to have some humor to all this. Yeah. Anyway, I was talking to one of our listeners this past week, and they go, by the way, tell Alan I really enjoy his anecdotal non-industry comments at the front side. You're getting more fans on that as well, Alan, so that's good. Appreciate
Great,
that.
Thank you.
Fruit Loops. Multiple colors, but one flavor.
Yeah, I got a good one for next week, too, but I'll hold off on it. So a couple things to note. One, two webinars by MBA that I think are really important you want to take part in. The first one is April 30th. It's called MISMO, Blockchain Fundamentals for Mortgage Professionals.
Yeah.
There's a lot of blockchain still relevant. There's much, much greater advances that have been made. So you want to check this out. I'm going to be there. It's a great webinar. And then the second one is actually 10 days prior, April 20th, which is next week, called Tech in COVID-19, Digital and Electronic Closings. Super important. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that need to be sort of ironed out, fact versus fiction. Actually, at my own company, Open Close, we have a webinar as well, April 21st. For the industry.
Ah,
so there's a lot of these popping up. You definitely want to start to learn more. I think it's very important to be able to understand what's true versus not true. There's a lot of rumor versus a lot of just unknown facts. So David, get this. So, you know, we keep focusing on mortgage technology. We focus on real tech, right? Real estate side. And I think we hear a lot of people talk, and we've probably seen advertisements from real estate agents, but this was very interesting to me. 1 in 3 home buyers want video home tours. 12% favor e-mortgages. Now, I should have followed up with a statistic on our iPad sales, right, through Amazon and Apple Online going through the roof to see, because so many of us are now working from home and real estate agents are doing virtual tours. And so Zillow has now made it possible. This article, by the way, is from Redfin, but they both are doing it. But you have the ability on every single listing to be able to ask for an agent-led virtual video chat tour. You also have the ability to get a 3D home tour with a panoramic photo. So all of the different real estate sites are all doing something different. You can just Google it, and you'll come up with tons of Google articles that talk about it. And in addition, you know, Redfin has two subsidiaries, Title Forward and Redfin Mortgage. And they actually stated that their e-closings have continued to increase and represent 10% of all their deals, which is an up from only 3% in March and 1% in February. So we continue to tilt forward towards really going more digital. And when you think about what do our tech teams do during this time, our tech teams help definitely sustainability, but we need to start preparing. We need to start preparing for what's next. And I think we still focus on the borrower point of sale. Many are still saying that. But it gets into the next part of our technology piece here, David. You know, as we know, guidelines were put in place, FHFA and the GSEs, on reducing friction in the appraisal process, right? And so now you can do a desktop appraisal, which can be done as well as an exterior appraisal. Well, Regora, and there's a couple companies here, Regora just announced that they are providing their clients, existing clients, with the ability for the homeowner to join. They get an email, and they can actually snap pictures, geotag them, so they know that they're part of the property. And you can take those pictures, and then they're provided through their software to the appraiser and then the underwriter. Well, in addition to Regora doing it, Clear Capital has launched a new homeowner-enabled appraisal app. In addition to that, Land Gorilla has done online notarizations.
Yeah.
And there's others as well that are doing the app picture. So if you're not partnered with one of these companies, you definitely want to take a look at that. Super, super important. In addition, David, Accurate Group was the other one. I knew I had a third one in there. They're doing remote data collection, and they're doing the picture process with borrowers from their cell phones. So definitely helping out that process. One of our old friends, David, you and I know them very well, Loan Logics, they just released what they call Idea on Demand, which is individual documents or small document blobs that can be uploaded to their system and returned instantly, not only doc recognition, but data extraction. And they have over 400 different document types and over 8,000 individual data elements. Mm. And they're releasing a Try Before You Buy program. So if you're interested in implementing that into your process, that's right. Check it out. Brand new vendor I thought was very important during this unique time called Decision Point. Not a new vendor, by the way. New vendor to me called Decision Point. They recently released a new product that can get a title request within 30 seconds using only the borrower's name and property address. And it designed, I'm reading word for word here, is designed to instantly deliver a title grade and completion time estimated for lenders, advising them of any title issues that need to be resolved prior to closing. So looking at different ways that technology is being implemented during this unique time. And then finally, to end today's segment, David, Built Technologies has also put out a limited version of their software. Seems like they weren't completely done, but it is time to get it out to market to help manage and monitor the construction loan process, which has all kinds of challenges, including delays, even of not only contractors, but the shipping of materials. So if you work with Built Technologies, definitely make sure that you know about it, give them a buzz. And if you're looking to implement, if you do over 100 construction loans a month, you should be talking to someone like Built Technologies.
Good job. Appreciate that. Yeah, we know those guys. They do a great job. Appreciate you giving us the tech update. You want to get hold of Alan, get a hold of Alan, A-L-L-E-N, at tms-advisors.com. Thanks for this week's tech update. Interesting stuff. I really wonder, Alan, if this isn't going to be changing the face of how we do business in the mortgage industry, this COVID crisis. A lot more working from home. A lot more stress on infrastructure, security, and all the issues, but it's creating some new opportunities for companies to compete in a very unique way that I think is very user-friendly. So good stuff's coming out of this crisis.
I agree.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you, man. So good. And we now have Dr. Andy Schell, also known as the Prophet Doctor. He was the Prophet Doctor before he had his PhD. Now he is officially the doctor, Prophet Doctor.
Hi, Dave.
Good to have you here, Andy Schell. Appreciate you. I was thinking about remittances and all the things you talk about this in the webinars that you do and all that, scheduled, actual. And the stuff, it sounds like, scheduled. I remember the first time you brought that up, we're talking about it. I'd forgotten that. It had been a number of years since I'd been servicing loans. And a lot of that knowledge is, it's important for people to understand that because there are consequences, and those consequences are being discovered today in this market.
That's
kind of market.
Right. Those remittances of principal and interest happen quickly. They happen at least every month, in some cases more frequently than that. But the other part of this, too, is that this actually, if this forbearance continues for a while, there's also escrow disbursements that have to be made by the servicer.
Right.
So you have to pay the taxes and pay the insurance even if the customer didn't pay their escrow payments under a forbearance. So that's probably not going to be a big deal yet because it's hopefully this will be resolved before we have many months of forbearance to absorb. But the scheduled remittances are going to be hitting imminently, and that will affect liquidity in March. In addition to, we're going to have a financial effect in March. So let me continue talking about March results here in just a second. Let me circle back because Alan mentioned the MBA webinars, and I wanted to mention the webinar that I teach is this week as well. So
good.
I'm going to be teaching a webinar on advanced accounting. We've had record attendance. We had 350 people joining to learn about accounting and hedging. So this week is on cash flow, secondary marketing, gain analysis. That one is really complicated, and it's really interesting because we're going to monitor month-end reporting of mortgage-backed security price effect and how that drives through to hedge effectiveness, which in these recent times has been pretty bad, pretty poor hedge effectiveness, unfortunately. But we'll also talk about fair value measurement, tax implications from the revenue recognized in the pipeline through counting the profit on interest rate lock commitments, and then also other FASB emerging issues task force commentary that has been released recently. So it's kind of geeky, but it's actually fun. The secondary marketing value change and impact on the MBS market and the role that the VIX is a measure, the VIX, those commodities trading, is for options and futures, but it measures volatility, how that can be a leading indicator of badness in mortgage. How do you like that for a technical term, badness?
Badness.
So what we're going to see in March, aside from the servicing illiquidity potential risk that's out there, and that potential risk and the risk of non-payment and collection efforts and advanced risk has driven the MSR, the values of servicing MSR mortgage servicing right, MSR values down dramatically to virtually zero. Now there's cash flow value for MSRs that are owned. And when you do an analysis of something of value, you can look at market value based on recent trades, or you can look at cash flow values. And so if you weight the valuation based on cash flow values, that will mean that the MSRs on the books of independent mortgage companies and commercial banks around the country doesn't have to be written down to zero or 25 basis points just because the bids are off. So that's a really important point. And the big valuation groups like Phoenix Capital and Compass Analytics, they know all of this stuff. So it's not like if this is something new. But we just need to, if you're dealing with someone who's talking about writing down MSRs substantially to zero or even well below 50 bips, let's talk about that, because I don't think you're going to have to do that. That would have a catastrophic effect for a big MSR holder on their March financial results. But even if we can push beyond the MSR impact, we may have a bad March. Some companies may have secondary marketing margin gain on sale decline. It's what I call margin decay. We may actually experience that for our March results in a significant way. So those who could deliver to the Fannie cash window are probably going to be okay, because we were able to avoid the effect that the aggregators have on issuing the short-term mandatory delivery commitment. So for those who had to deliver into aggregators, and that was your only option for execution, you may see 50 to 90 basis points in decline in gain on sale. It's really going to be dramatic. And I've confirmed these numbers with several of the trading desks.
Yep.
So this happens when you have extreme volatility in the mortgage-backed security market. That sends ripples throughout the industry. It sent the VIX, the VIX index, up over 80. Normally it's like 20 or 30. When it gets over 50, we need to worry about it. It was up at 80. And when that happens, 80. Yeah, the VIX crossed over 80 2 weeks ago. So when that happens, the people, the mandatory desk at Wells Fargo, are people, and they have to, when they issue a mandatory delivery commitment to buy loans from you, they then have to do something with it themselves. And whether if it's Wells Fargo or any of the other mandatory trading desks, they're watching all this stuff. They have instant access to everything about the market. So they're watching this, and what ends up happening is they don't offer as much for the transition. And so what we want to have happen, what hedging is supposed to do, the underlying assumption is that the value change in the loan will be perfectly offset by a value change in the hedge. One goes up, the other goes down, one goes down, the other goes up. Works perfectly
not so much
when you have a stable, when you have
stable,
a stable market.
Yeah,
when you have a rational market. And that's even Black-Scholes option pricing model is based on the assumption of rational markets. So, but when the loan sale gain does not offset the hedging loss, then you have secondary marketing margin decay. And the models that drive these position recommendations are based on predictability. They want to be able to understand what's happening. I say in hedging, we look backwards to look forwards. But when volatility erodes the predictability, then we're going to have a decay in the effectiveness of the hedge. That means that the trading desks don't know what's going to happen, and so they're going to reduce the prices they're going to offer. So what we have to do is we have to prepare for this. We have to identify this. And what I've advised my clients, anytime we see the VIX over 50, we're going to add margin. The only way to protect yourself is to immediately add margin. And everybody else will eventually do this as well, but you'll protect yourself from the hedging decay when you add margin on the front end when VIX is above 50. Several of my clients added a half, some even up to a point, and they were fine. They actually experienced a margin decay, but they were able to offset that by increasing their initial margin. So this is a really interesting topic to me. It's a deep in the weeds kind of nerdy thing to talk about. Yeah. But if anybody wants to talk more about this, give me a call, shoot me an email. We'll set a time to talk. But the point of this is the real challenge is sometimes hedging doesn't work. Hedging doesn't work when you have extreme volatility because you then have extreme unpredictability, and hedging models rely on being able to look backwards, to look forwards, and when the past doesn't predict the future, hedging is not going to work as you expect. So you have to cushion, you have to increase your secondary marketing margin to offset that impact from risk change. So there you go, Dave.
Good stuff.
That's my thoughts for today. We have so much more to talk about. I'd love to talk about more about what Alice was talking about, but for another time.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we have to do one of our old roundtable discussions we used to do a number of years back and get us all around that. I think this may be one of those times coming up real soon where we all sit around and just have a relaxed conversation. But I thank you so much, Andy Schell, for getting a hold of us here. The best way to reach Andy is andy@mbs-team.com. Andy, A-N-D-Y. Yes, if you need help spelling that, folks. Only me. Only I would. Andy at TMMBS-team.com. Andy, thanks so much for being here. I know you got a job. Have a blessed week. I hope you had a great Easter. Appreciate you, friend. And thanks for bringing
Thank
us some
too.
Wisdom each and every week. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Dave. Bye.
Folks, this is when we end our normal weekly update. Now, those of you listening live, just stay right in. We're going to roll right into our Hot Topic segment. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Finastra, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, CMLA, as well as Indicom, Incelerate, Ainsworth Advisors, AI Assist, Celebrity Home Loans, Knowledge Coop, Mobility RE, Modex, Velma, VendorSurf, and Vidyard. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.